The information in today's episode is not to be used as medical advice. If you are currently struggling with or dealing with something out of the ordinary, we highly recommend talking directly to your provider. Welcome to the Flow State Podcast, where we're all about finding balance. We're your hosts, Monica Groney
and Nora Candido. Now let's get into the flow.
Hello and welcome back, Flow State Podcast listeners. We're always excited to bring you our weekly episode, and this is the culmination of our season three, which is so hard to believe. We have a beautiful guest on with us today. I will allow her to introduce herself, but just a brief background is we have Dr. Nevin, who is a highly esteemed holistic practitioner, and she is a personal coach that specializes in empowering women and couples to lead fulfilled and connected lives. She works with nuanced layers beneath the surface, has a bachelor's in science in psychology and focus on development, and her PhD in family chiropractic and relationship coaching certification through the ICF, which is so cool. Nevin, welcome.
Thank you. Thank you for having me. I'm excited to be here.
I know that over the last 3 months at Maria, we have been seeing a huge influx of people going to an article on our website, actually, that's all about how to talk to your partner about your mental health and your period. And I personally get a lot of DMs from our community of women asking, like, how can I have my partner better understand what I'm experiencing? How can I ask for what I need? And so I'm so excited to have you here today and to be able to help give us, our community, some tools and tips to communicate better with our partners. But I'd love for you first just to kind of tell us a little bit about yourself, your overarching mission and the work that you do and how you got into this work.
Yeah, well, thank you for having me. And I'm so excited that that was a huge question that you have been getting because this is such an important topic. Relationships are so foundational to our mental health, our well-being. So really glad to be here to share some of this stuff with you. Yeah, I'm a certified relationship coach and holistic doctor. I've been in practice for about 8 years. And throughout my whole professional career, even before I got, you know, any kind of degrees, I've always had one hand in the mental, emotional realm of healing, and then the other realm in the physical. And really connecting the two. There's no separation between the two. I've practiced worldwide, you know, in Holland and Seattle and California, had my own wellness practice 2 blocks away from the ocean in La Jolla. It was so beautiful. I loved that practice. And, you know, I'm very intuitive. When I would be working with my hands, I would feel a lot of tension. And, you know, as a doctor, you're not only a doctor, you're also a counselor. You're also, you know, really getting deep with people, at least that's how I practice, right? 9 out of 10 times it's relationships. You know, the tension that people feel in the space between them and another person is felt in the body. So that's really what got me into this work. After I sold my practice, I spent a lot of time, you know, diving into relationships, kind of doing independent studies and getting certified and working with couples. And the past 4 years, it's been the main focus of mine. How does the stuff that we feel show up in the space between interpersonal relationships? So that is something I'm very passionate about now because a lot of people experience trauma in relationships, especially early on with their parents or maybe with siblings or friends. Lots of bullying happens. And so it would make sense that it's through healthy relationships that a lot of healing can happen. So that's what I do. I'm really passionate about this work.
I love that and agree completely. I think it was the Harvard study that came out like the beginning of this year, even talking about the importance of relationships in terms of just our health and our well-being and longevity. And obviously, longevity is this trendy buzzword, but I think it is so important and love that you channeled that experience, got some certifications and specialties to help transform. And for me, it's been really interesting even learning like the work that we do as individuals then impacts our future generations too. Like to think about leaving a legacy and helping to resolve maybe things that came before us and to change. Maybe if we didn't grow up in the best environment, knowing that we can improve that for the next generations, even if you have offspring or not. I think that's really cool.
Hey there, Flow State podcast listeners. It's your host, Monica. I wanted to interrupt this episode real quick to share with you a little bit about my brand, Mireya. Mireya is a nutritional company that helps support women who are dealing with symptoms of hormone imbalance. I don't know about you, but I struggled with awful periods for over 17 years. Head back to season 1, episode 5 to learn more about my story and struggles with PMDD. When I discovered the life-changing benefits of having a solid foundational multivitamin in my everyday routine, my life was changed forever. I had more energy, my moods were balanced, I was able to resume life as usual, and feeling normal sometimes just feels so freaking good. That's why I teamed up with dietitians, nutritionists, naturopathic doctors, and OBGYN to create the best possible foundational multivitamin for women who experience symptoms of hormone imbalance. I am so excited to share this with you. If you haven't checked it out yet, head to www.mireyawellness.com. And of course, for all of our listeners, I have a special discount. You can use the code FLOWPOD, FLOWPOD at checkout to get a special discount. Okay, back to the episode.
Yeah, totally. The more we can really like look at our own patterns, the better off our kiddos are going to be one day too, you know, because they're going to be more aware through our own awareness, you know, that's a huge why.
Yeah. It's just such important work. And I think you kind of, you mentioned on it too, of how it can show up in our bodies. And when you were working with people in person and trying to heal people's bodies, it's like relationship and emotional really does come through in the physical. And I think that we don't always realize that, but when there's stress in other areas of our lives, emotional, it creates dis-ease in our body, which shows up as disease. So
yeah.
It's so important that we can heal all sides of it. And yeah, like a true need of us as humans is connection and love. And that is our relationships, whether they're intimate relationships or friendships, but community is so, so important.
Yes. Yeah. There was a recent study that was done that showed even people who are in relationships, if there's a perception of loneliness, it has a huge impact on your mental health, your physical health. You know, because being alone, right, is not necessarily a bad thing. There's the difference between feeling lonely and then feeling a sense of solitude. You know, when you feel lonely, you feel like there's that lack. There's this lack of support in some way, rather than when you feel a sense of solitude, you're actually like enjoying your time alone, you know? And that research showed was that the difference between experiencing loneliness or experiencing, you know, that feeling of being alone versus feeling solitude is the predictable sense of support. You know, whether it be with a spouse, whether it be with community, you know, if that's predictable and reliable and consistent in your perception of it, then you can actually enjoy your time alone, which is really fascinating because there are a lot of people who, you know, they're in relationship and they still feel alone, you know, and that's got to change because it has a huge impact on our well-being as people.
And I know that you work a lot, not just with couples, but also with women. You have your Aligned Women program. And I'm curious kind of what you see as recurring. And obviously, like the majority of our audience is female. And like I said, you know, women who are working on healing themselves, healing their hormones, healing their health. And because what I'm hearing from them is that they're having a hard time with that communication with their partner. I'm just kind of curious, in your women's groups, what are some of the common things that come up that women are feeling really frustrated with?
Definitely not feeling understood by their partners. That's a huge one across the board. A lot of women, and this is just my experience in working with literally thousands of women, tend to shut down or kind of not use their voice in relationship because they don't want to rock the boat. They don't want to be seen as too much, too emotional, or, you know, maybe they've had negative experiences in their relationship where they don't feel comfortable opening up. So in the Aligned Woman program, you know, we work with like hundreds of women who kind of really learn tools on how to find their voice and how to communicate in a way that, you know, relationship is four parts, right? There's self-awareness and self-management, and then partner awareness and partner management. And we really have to honor all four parts, meaning like if you're feeling something and, you know, you need to draw a boundary or you have a need or a desire, you've got to be able to voice it in a way that also respects the relationship. Or when we look at communication, it's such a conversation of like collaboration, right? Like how can we actually communicate in a way where it works for the both of us, where like I feel like I'm honoring my needs and also it's landing well with you. Like how can we communicate, right? Communication is so foundational. But I would say that's a big one. It's not feeling understood because there's not really like a good foundation of communication.
Communication is such a hard one. I'm like, that's one of the topics that I'm like, why don't we learn communication tools at any point in our education? And in that instance where someone is a female or a male avoiding maybe speaking up about their needs and feeling misunderstood, like, is there a certain communication tool that you would recommend to them?
Yeah, there's so much to unpack when it comes to communication, right? Because it's also, there's therapeutic tools, right? Like different communication tools, but then there's also your perception of what's happening or like the deeper understanding of what's beneath the surface. You know, why is something so triggering? And that takes, it takes some strength and some emotional fitness to actually be able to have, to go there with your partner and with yourself, right? As far as communication, I mean, there's so much. If something is triggering for somebody, I would start looking at the anatomy of a trigger. Right? There's different parts of a trigger. So let's say, you know, you're in a conversation with your husband or your boyfriend and you say something or they say something to you, let's say, and it's triggering for you. First, I would look at what was the triggered event. So that's the first part, is what's the triggered event? What actually happened? The second part is what's the triggered emotion? And then the third part is the triggering behavior. And then the fourth part is the story, because it tends to be the story that's the most inflaming for somebody, right?
Yeah, definitely. And I think like triggers have become kind of a buzzword as well of like everyone's like, oh, like triggered content or like trigger this, trigger that. And so I guess maybe like what would be an emotional response that would send, like allow someone to feel in their body like, oh, I'm being triggered, like. For me, I know it would be like shutting down, avoidance, like turning away, or like very heated, like my body physically will feel hot. I don't know, like what might someone experience in terms of being triggered by someone else?
Okay, so let me break them down. So a trigger is, it's an emotional sore spot in your being where somebody can say something or do something, or even in your own perception of what they might do. That could be triggering, which is basically an activation. Your body is activated. It moves you from a ventral vagal state down into your sympathetic dominant state, right? So you're in fight or flight. You're feeling a flood of emotions. Maybe you're getting hot. Your body's tightening in some way because it's getting ready to either fight or flee. So it would be really helpful for somebody to identify, because when somebody says, oh, I'm triggered, right? Or, oh gosh, this is like, you know, activating for me. That kind of is a blanket statement, and it's really helpful to go deeper into really looking at, well, what about this was activating for me? You know, like, was it their tone of voice? Was it the perception of maybe I would be abandoned? Was it that there was no eye contact, and so I felt dropped in that moment when I was sharing something really important? You know, I was working with this couple, and one of the things was he turned his phone down like this. And just that was like activating for her because she thought, well, what's going on there? You know, like why that phone turned upside down? So it's helpful to label first the event. Like what was it actually that was activating for me? And then secondly, what did it make me feel? Because people kind of have blanket statements of, oh, God, it like pissed me off, or I was like really stressed out in that moment. But it's helpful to actually figure out the texture of what you're actually experiencing. Like, was it hopelessness in the moment? Were you actually fearful of something? You know, did you feel alone? To actually like distill it down to what you felt and then how you behaved. right? So what was the behavior afterwards? Do you shut down? Do you lash out? Like, what is your go-to behavior when you're actually experiencing these things with the person that you care about? And then look at the story. Okay, so you felt abandoned. And what was the story? You know, the truth is that there are an infinite amount of stories that we can put on the same situation, you know, according to your perspective. Like, truly, however many people exist in the world, that's how many perspectives there are in the same moment, right? Depending on your background and what you've experienced in your life. And this is just human behavior. People tend to choose the worst case scenario in an effort to protect themselves and fortify. Like, oh, he doesn't care about me at all. Like, look at that. Or whatever it might be, there's usually a story that's not very supportive of the relationship. And in working with couples, it's actually, you know, you've got to kind of unearth this stuff and then decide on a different story that you can actually tell yourself moving forward in that moment, right? You know, it's a process that you can walk through. And in Couples Reconnect, we go through that. We walk you through step by step on how to actually like process through that. Because it's very like involved. It has to do with your childhood blueprints and all of that.
That's what I was going to say too, is like subconsciously, like you were saying, the emotional sore spot. So I've heard from other experiences that if you experienced abuse, whether physical or verbal as a child, it doesn't, like you said, it doesn't just have to be during childhood, but you have this inherent memory of that experience. And then if something happens in your day to day that feels like that, your body's having that same internal reaction. Like you said, it could be fight, flight, or freeze, where we're shutting down, or maybe we're getting that elevated heart rate, or we're getting really hot, whatever the physical sensation might be, or just the emotional side of saying, like, I've been here before, and almost solidifying that pathway that you already have that imprinted in your brain. And now you're like, well, that story must still be true.
That's a really good point. It's really fascinating how the nervous system works in the context of relationship. And it's important, I think, for people to understand how their nervous system works in the context of relationship, because it really is the foundation of how we relate with each other. Like, you tend to, you know, when you meet a partner, it's like you fall in love and you have all these feelings, and then you get married, and then fast forward 5 years, it's like all of the childhood stuff comes up, all of the patterns and the stuff that wasn't present in the beginning because your whole mode was to attract, right? Like, I want to attract this person. I want to get a ring on my finger. I want to, like, you know, but then when marriage actually becomes married, it's so much deeper than the feelings at the beginning, right? It's like, okay, we have a platform now to actually like figure ourselves out. And, you know, it's a very rich environment for that, because it's only in like marriage that a lot of your stuff shows up, you know, that wouldn't normally show up in other relationships.
When you're talking about nervous system, is this like where the self-regulation like part comes in? Or like, I guess, what are some of the nervous system responses that people experience? Is it just our childhood trauma coming up? And like you're saying, the way we react with our partner, like what really is that?
Yeah. Okay. So this is such a like juicy part of relationship. And if you're with a committed partner, it can be helpful, because the conversation is different when like stuff comes up. So, okay, in order to understand the nervous system in relationship, you've got to understand the nervous system. So I'm going to break it down in like a 1 minute thing so that listeners can like understand a little bit more about like what's actually happening. So with the nervous system, you know, people usually become aware of themselves or of their partner downstream in the stage of either a behavior like, oh, I'm aware that I'm shutting down right now, or man, he's such a dick. I can't believe he just said that to me. You know, like of the behavior or the feeling like, oh, this does not feel good. I do not like this person right now. Right. Or, oh, I love him. Like, oh my God, it feels so good to be in his presence. But what's actually happening, the reason why somebody's experiencing something happens way upstream in the part called neuroception. So when we look at the nervous system, there's neuroception, which leads to your perception, which leads to your nervous system state, and then your feelings, then your behavior, then your story. Okay. So I'm going to unpack that real fast. Neuroception is the process. It's a subcortical process that happens subcortical, meaning your cortex is your thinking brain. You can think abstractly. You're aware. A subcortical process means it's subconscious. It's happening basically from here down beneath your cortex. So with neuroception, your nervous system scans your environment 4 times a second for a threat. It's going, am I safe or am I in danger? Am I safe or am I in danger? 4 times a second. You're totally not aware of this. You're always scanning your environment, right? So let's say you pick up on a cue of danger. That shifts your perception. Like, you know, let's say in neuroception, you pick up on a cue of danger. That shifts how you're perceiving your environment, which shifts your state, your nervous system state. Okay, so I'll give you an example. And this was like a personal example. Let's say I was bullied when I was younger, which I was. I was bullied when I was younger. It was absolutely awful. And it was actually in the beginning of high school. And so I met my husband and he invited me out to like to meet new friends. That question of, will you come, let's go to dinner with these new people, was in my process of neuroception, I picked up on a threat that was, oh, people aren't safe, right? And that sent my nervous system from a ventral vagal state down into a sympathetic state, right? And then how do you think I responded in, if you're in fight or flight, you know, you respond and you interact differently than if you were regulated. So this is where having an understanding of your inner workings of, oh, why is this triggering for me? You know, what about this is like going on inside me? What version of myself is at the forefront right now? And it's like a very loving process to go through with yourself and with another person, because then it like opens up the discussion of like, wow, you know, I can't believe that this is surfacing right now. Or like, how can we get through this together? You know, what are ways to help each other kind of grow through this so that you can give your nervous system new information and you can heal? So that's kind of like how your nervous system kind of plays out in relationship, right? So if your partner says something and that's triggering for you, well, then you can unpack that. And if you're with a partner who is loving and supportive, then, you know, you can work through that together. I think where couples go wrong is that one is struggling and then the other doesn't care in some way or like isn't attuned to their struggle, you know, and that's where it's like, what kind of relationship are these two people wanting to create? You know, like, what's the point? Like, if you're not with somebody who's going to work through things together, you know, and like address the nervous system and heal.
And sometimes I'd imagine that some of that lack of attunement is maybe an inability or the lack of the tools to be able to communicate the feelings. Is that true? Is sometimes it just like blanket a communication issue?
You know, there's so many things that come to play. You know, it would be helpful to, yes, know the tools on how to name, how to really communicate what you're feeling. If you don't know how you're feeling, then to be able to communicate that, you know, like, look, I'm feeling something. I'm not sure what I'm feeling right now, but I need some time to figure it out. It's not about you, you know, or if it is about you, then help me, like, you know, give me some time so that I can articulate this, right? When it comes to couples, communication is so key, because if you leave something up to interpretation, a partner will interpret the worst case scenario. Oh, she's leaving me. She doesn't want me anymore. I'm not good enough. I'm failing in some way, right? So that's where like communicating your inner world is helpful.
Yeah. And I think something that I learned from you too, Nevin, was like expectations and setting expectations, because we all have our own personal movie playing in our mind, right? And then someone comes and interrupts your movie with their movie, or just like interrupts your stream of thought. Or you go into a day where you have something planned and you don't name or say your expectation for the day, and then you're disappointed or frustrated with the outcome. But at the end of the day, like, it kind of comes back to you as an individual not first speaking your expectation for whether it's like an experience that you're having together. And I think maybe a lot of our listeners would really relate to things like explaining and naming the experience you're having with your cycle. You know, a lot of our listeners are people who struggle with emotional changes around their cycles, people with PMDD, and our experience that occurs the week before a period is very heightened. And it's very hard to explain to a partner. So, you know, our emotional change is so drastic and quick, but we know it's coming. So I think for people experiencing that, how can they like create an expectation with their partner of, hey, I know that these 4 days, 4 or 5 days in my cycle are emotionally different for me. And this is what I need from you. I think a lot of times a partner can misinterpret that, and or maybe if they're not self-regulated, create their own story about it, right? It could be triggering to them of like, oh, they don't want my help. They need space. They need distance, or they need me to be extra loving and it feels really needy. Like, how can someone share what they're experiencing in that time? Yeah, Nora, you had something to say.
I think it goes back even further where like just acknowledging and sharing maybe like one snippet with your partner and saying like, every single day is a different cocktail of hormones. Like,
yeah,
it might not happen those 4 or 5 days leading up to your cycle. What if it happens mid-cycle or on your bleed? But if your partner just understands that, like, I don't feel the same every single day. I don't have the same level of energy. I don't have the same libido or desire every day. Sometimes I want to be in solitude or alone. And just knowing that it's likely not something that they are or are not doing. It's nothing personal, just knowing that my needs personally change throughout the course of the month and being able to either share, okay, this is like typical for what happens in my body or how I'm feeling around this time, but also just understanding that like it could be different this month than it was last month, and just having empathy or understanding that like there's a lot going on in here. We're dynamic humans, which I think is a superpower. It's a beautiful thing and not something that we should feel shame or badly for, but just sharing that statement alone with your partner, I think could be helpful.
Totally. Yeah. And also having a partner who is open to hearing what you're going through, right? I think communicating in a way where they can understand what you're going through and also they don't feel dropped by you, right? I think that that would be a huge help in, yeah, when a woman's experiencing PMS or PMDD or, you know, that sort of thing, getting her partner enrolled in what she's experiencing. Like, look, babe, I love you so much. This is nothing personal to you at all. This is something that I'm going through. It doesn't mean anything about our relationship. I'm still so attracted to you. I find you so handsome. And this is what I'm experiencing. My libido is down and it has nothing to do with how attractive you are, right? This is what I'm going through. And also men tend to really respond well to times, you know, so that they know it's not a forever thing. Like, look, these 10 days or these 7 days or however much you need, I need like a 10 out of 10 compassion level from you. And, you know, just as a woman, this is something that I am experiencing. Let him know, let him in on your experience. And I have these, you know, cramps. This is what you can do to help. You know, if you like get my heating pad or something, that would mean the world to me. That sort of thing, so that they know, oh, this is what she needs from me. This is what I can do. It's not like he's not feeling shut out.
Yeah. I think too, as women, like a lot of times we feel a lot of shame for having to come to the table and be like, oh, I'm a woman and like my emotions fluctuate and like I need this from you. I think a lot of people have a hard time just admitting it or being worried. And I know I hear this from the PMDD community a lot of like, I don't want, you know, I have this new boyfriend and I keep ruining relationships because my emotions come over me and it's overwhelming. And then I like take it out on them. And so like there may be a lack of communication there, but they also feel a lot of shame of being like, my emotions change pretty drastically throughout the month because we see women get labeled as crazy often and they don't want that on them. So I don't even know if there's like a question in there. It's just like empathizing with the people who are like, yeah, like I understand that feeling of feeling like you don't want to speak up and really tell the person your full experience because you're worried of their judgment.
That's a very real and very valid thing. Because I know, you know, some people aren't met with the tenderness that they would need, you know, and that just makes me sad. Monica, you said something that I think is very meaningful and important. And it's, you know, naming what you're going through is so, so, so helpful. Because if we don't name what we're going through, then what we're giving off, you know, is we're in our sympathetic dominance, right? We're dysregulated in our bodies in some way because of hormones, because of, you know, the situation, right? And that can be perceived as, oh, I'm doing something wrong, or, oh, she doesn't love me, or, oh, I'm messing up again, right? So naming it kind of takes the responsibility away, or takes the, you know, takes like what they might be doubting, lets them into, you know, your experience. So they can have a little more like bandwidth and capacity to be there for you rather than internalize it and make it about themselves. That's been my experience with guys.
What would naming it look like? So like, are you naming the emotion? Are you naming what you're feeling? Are you naming your expectation? Like all of those things?
Yeah. Naming like, yes, this is what I'm experiencing. It has nothing to do with you. This is, you know, this is how you can help me during this time. Something like that. It is so vulnerable to ask for help.
And I think too, it's also challenging to just let the person know that it, like, maybe not challenging, but I don't think we remember to let the person know that it doesn't have anything to do with them. You know, our world and their world can be separate while still being together. And that piece of it, I know, is a piece that I've missed for a long time, of just letting your partner know, hey, I'm experiencing this and it's not a reflection of you, or it's not a reflection of something that you've done. But is so important, like you said, especially for men, to have them understand that, like, this isn't a reaction to something that you did, and I just need a day or whatever, and then I'm going to come back. But that coming back piece too, and like having the time frame, so important.
I often recommend to people too, if you're not getting that validation from an outside party, can you take a moment to just write those things down too? At least validating them from outside of your head too. Like putting them somewhere, writing them down, putting them on paper, maybe your phone, voice note, journaling, whatever the thing is, just so that it's not this like ruminating, you're not downward spiraling also, if you're not getting it elsewhere or having that like coming back to you point, centering, grounding, and not letting that thought take over too.
Yeah, I love that. Yeah. And, you know, so much of this is also relationship to self, right? Like if it's hard to express yourself in your relationship, well, why? What is there that's difficult to feel comfortable enough to kind of be vulnerable, right? Like, is it because of them? Is it because of something that you've experienced in your childhood, right? And so developing that relationship with your inner child, knowing what my husband actually explained this perfectly. He's studying positive psychology now, but part of like the journey of positive psychology and kind of developing a relationship with your inner child is recognizing what your pitfalls are, or where the spots that you might like fall, kind of throw you off track. And then building a system around that to where you recognize it and you work through it with yourself, right? And we all experience those pitfalls in our relationships and also our relationship with self, right? Like if you know that you shut down, that would be a pitfall. That would be something where, oh, this is a pattern now. You know, how can I work around this? And if you need something from your partner, then, you know, expressing that and coming up with a system as a team on how to actually co-navigate that together, right? And that actually in and of itself is so healing. because what I found is that a lot of the times if somebody does not speak up, it's because in their childhood they weren't able to, or they were largely, their emotions were shoved away in some way, right? They weren't validated or really seen. And so having somebody who you can actually kind of open up to and who can experience what you're going through with you, you know, and witness that, that's a very healing process. But it takes like teamwork.
And an immense amount of vulnerability.
Yeah, a lot of vulnerability. Yeah, a lot of being seen.
Yeah, allowing someone else into that space for you, right? Where it's been really uncomfortable for someone for so long to share their emotions because maybe in childhood they were shoved away, to then have the courage and bravery to come to the table and learn to share that with the other person. Like, that takes an immense amount of courage.
Yeah. And also support and compassion from the partner. You know, like if you're not well received in your relationship when you're, you know, actually being vulnerable, you're probably not going to want to be intimate with that person. So I think that that's in my Aligned Woman program. A lot of women experience that. And that's why they're like, you know what? I want to do this work on my own, separate from my partner, because I don't even know if I want to be with them anymore. So let me go through this like process of learning communication tools and, you know, healing myself so I can see clearly, kind of thing.
That was one of my questions too, is a lot of times I feel like women are more willing to kind of come to the table and quote unquote, do the work, whether it be on themselves or they want to do the work on the relationship. And not always, it's not always just the woman, but I mean, maybe one partner wants to do the work or is putting in work to learn more about themselves so that they can be vulnerable in their relationship and try to create a connection. And a lot of times maybe the other partner doesn't want to, like it's that argument maybe with the couple of like, I want to go to therapy together. And one partner's like, no, I don't want to. Like, is there still room for that relationship to grow if both people aren't willing to, quote unquote, do the work?
You know, I would start with asking like why, and getting to the root of why that partner wouldn't want to get help. You know, you can still grow, right? But it's really hard to work on a relationship if the partner doesn't want to work on it with you. Like, yes, you can change yourself. You can try as much as you can, but man, like it really helps to have a partner who's on board with growth.
Yeah. And like you were saying, just someone who can meet you with tenderness and create a safe space for you to be able to share, I think is super, super important. So maybe even being attuned to your partner of, are they showing up in the relationship the way that like I need my partner to, and asking yourself that question is a valid question.
Totally. Are they showing up? Also, are we showing up? You know, like whenever with my husband, if something's ever going on, if there's like a rupture or I'm feeling activated in some way, I always bring it back to myself. You know, and I go, what am I doing that caused this? Because it's always two, right? There's always, yes, of course, he's not like perfect and neither am I. And I'm willing to own that part, you know? So it's a nuanced thing. It's a collaboration between two people. But I think that that conversation of what am I bringing to the table? What is my nervous system doing in this moment? What am I contributing? Needs to be on both sides, because it's really hard to be in relationship with someone who's not self-aware or who's not willing to like do, to kind of go through a self-discovery process.
I personally have experience with sometimes having a hard time expressing, like I'll say what I think I need to satisfy something, and then that thing is done. So I really love getting flowers. And if I buy them for my, why are you laughing at me?
I'm not. I love that.
And that's something where like I've expressed to my partner, like, I think the root of that is that I just want to know that you're thinking of me when we're not together. It could be flowers. It could be my favorite ice cream treat or just something small or a note, whatever. And then if my partner does the thing right after I asked or expressed this, it doesn't feel genuine to me. And then that like need that I expressed and they're like doing the thing that I'm asking, it doesn't satisfy it. I personally feel like sometimes I have this disconnect. Like it's not always this situation. But what would you share with someone where, like, I understand it's a learning process, but to be able to convey that to somebody else too, of like, you're right, like, you did the thing that I asked for and it still didn't check the box. Like, I'm sorry.
Yeah. Nora, you're not alone. That's a very common experience, because it's like, it's such a couple's myth to think that your partner should just do it, that they should know because you've been together for so long, right? And yeah, so if you ask for something from your partner and then they deliver it, imagine like there's a goalpost and they literally kick the ball through the goal, you know, like you said, look, here it is. This is how you can make me happy. And they do it. You know, that's kind of how I present it to couples, because it's actually like a really beautiful thing to be able to ask and then receive. I don't think it takes the importance away from it, right? It's like they're learning you, and you're also able to, I think it's really beautiful if you're able to open up and ask for it. That's vulnerable to ask for something.
And I think we're also like not mind readers. And maybe the first time that he does it right after you ask for it, like it's like, oh, okay, he just did it because I asked. That's great. I can see the like him wanting to appease me, which that feels good. But I wish he'd just do it without me asking. Like, I know for me, I have to be like, okay, but like, can I also expect him to read my mind and know what I want? Like, not really. So hopefully as I get more comfortable asking and he's willing to deliver, then like a year from now, he'll just get me flowers and I didn't ask. And I'm like, oh, you remembered. That's really sweet. Like, so hopefully we can see how it could affect the future. But, and also remember, like, I don't want him to hold the expectation of me that I have to read his mind either, because that sounds intimidating, right? You know, when he expects you to make a big deal of his birthday and then you didn't, and you're like, well, I didn't know. Like, I didn't know you wanted a big deal of your birthday. And you feel bad because you're like, had I known, like, I would have, but I didn't realize it was so important. And so I like that situation, and you can kind of feel how they might have felt, where like you got disappointed for something you expected. I don't know. I think like remembering the other side of it is helpful.
Yeah, I love that. It's so true. Also, shifting the mindset. Because Nora, I used to feel that way, you know, in the beginnings of relationship work and that sort of thing. And now when I ask for something from my husband and he gives it to me, I think, oh my gosh, what a great team. Like, look at this, you know, this is teamwork, you know, and he's openly asking me for things, you know, and I feel like that's really beautiful. Because the flip side to that, or like if that doesn't happen, is imagine how many times this happens in relationship where like you expect something and it doesn't come your way. And you're like, the stories then start coming, right? Like, oh, they don't care. Oh, they're selfish, or, you know, whatever it is. So, you know, in my mind, teamwork is just, you know, is like being able to ask and then also receive and give, like meeting each other's needs. Yeah.
Amazing. I think too, like just one of the biggest takeaways from today for anyone listening, I hope, is I think the self-regulation and like the turning inward and looking at how we're perceiving situations is so important, and knowing how to understand our own patterns and how they can play into relationship. Like, I think it's just a great starting point for people who are really like, the relationships I'm in just don't seem to work out, or it's not going well, and taking that ownership and responsibility for your own role, your own state, your own nervous system. It's just a really good place to start.
Yeah. Unearthing a lot of that stuff. Yeah. So for anybody listening, you know, it would be helpful to follow these three steps. If you first write down the story, like if you're feeling something with your partner, write down what it is that you've been telling yourself. You know, what is that specifically? And then secondly, unearth it. You know, go through some writing, do some meditating, kind of go for a nature walk and really think, what about that story is familiar to me from my past, you know, from my childhood blueprint? Because that is likely being superimposed onto our perception, right? And then thirdly is, how can you work with your partner on this? What do you need from him to feel taken care of through this in this moment, or to feel like you are a team? Or even if it's just with yourself, let's say your partner's off, like, you know, and maybe you don't want to go through this with them. Maybe you just want to process with yourself. What's a new story you can tell yourself about the same situation, right? That would be a worthwhile process.
I love those three.
Yeah, that's really helpful. Thank you for sharing that.
Yeah.
I think this will be validating, if anything, for a lot of folks that maybe this inspires them to share this episode with their partner or just to have a conversation. And one thing that I've tried to implement in the last year of our relationship is just asking when to have this specific conversation too, not in the realm of just this topic, but like if I need something or if he brings something up, I can give the answer and say like, hey, I'm not emotionally in a position to have this conversation right now. Like, would you be open to having this tomorrow at 5 p.m. after work, XYZ? And just even knowing that there's a choice or that you can express that and you don't have to have the conversation in the moment. One of the best pieces of quote unquote marriage advice that we got was, it's okay to go to bed upset with each other. Maybe you need that time to decompress, process, and you come back to the conversation more level-headed, having thought about what you actually want to say instead of the emotions are really hot and things just come out. It's like, time out. Take a break. And I love that.
Yeah, it's so good. Yeah, if your nervous system is dysregulated and you just know that you're not in your best mindset to have a conversation, then don't have it, you know.
But even knowing that's a choice, like.
Yeah. Or like going into, you know, you want to express something to your partner. And Nevin, this is something that you taught me in my relationship, but asking like, hey, can you hold space right now? I would like to talk to you about something. And that also gives them the option to say no. And maybe that's even a conversation that our listeners could have in their relationships of, hey, when we have something that's emotionally charged that we want to have a conversation about, can we ask each other if we can hold space? And allowing the other person to accept or decline, or if you're declining, you can even just say like what Nora just said, not right now, but can we have this conversation at this time instead? And that is truly one of the best gifts that I think you've given me, is just learning that, like asking, hey, can you hold space?
Yeah. Oh, I'm glad that you guys have been using that. Yeah. It's a very helpful tool, you know, to ask your partner to hold space so that they know that something's coming and it's going to be emotional or it's going to be hard, something important, you know, so.
Yeah. It almost allows them to like bring the tenderness, right? Mm-hmm. Letting them know, hey, I need you to be tender in this moment.
Yeah.
Word like agency comes to mind for me.
Yeah. Well, I'm really hopeful that our listeners can take a few things away from our conversation today. Nevin, thank you so much for sharing with us. We do have a lightning round that we like to ask all of our guests. So let us dive into that.
Okay.
All righty. So what is your favorite meal to cook or to consume?
I love salmon with sweet potatoes and asparagus. I love it. When my husband makes it, it's so good. Yeah.
Such a balanced plate. I love it.
Yeah.
Are you more of an AM or a PM routine person?
Okay. So I am both. And lately I've been really focusing on my skincare routine in the AM and the PM. And it's the exact same routine. And it's been so healing. Just taking the time to really focus on yourself, look yourself in the eyes, you know, just really care for your largest organ of your body, your skin. I've been loving it. It's been like very good for my start and ending to the day.
I love that. I always find that I like am much more calm either going into the night or the morning if I take the time to do that for myself. It's like just giving yourself that time and that care. I love it.
Yeah, putting some like nice organic oils and just, you know, really caring for yourself. You know, it's such a step that I think is so widely like overstepped because, you know, you wake up and there's things to do and you're thinking and, you know, but really taking some time to like actually rub your body and put like the lotions on and just really like actually take that time, I think is really, for me, it feels really good.
Yeah. Even our last episode we did was just about touch and like even self-touch. It's healing for sure.
Yeah, it is.
Okay. What is your feminine care product of choice?
When it comes to my period, I use like I don't actually take anything. And I've been wanting to try your products, Monica, because yeah. I know that they're amazing from everything that I've read. But I use like a heating pad sometimes. And yeah, that's my big feminine care product.
Love it.
Yeah.
Is there a book that has been highly influential for you?
There are so many books.
So many.
So many. Yes. When it comes to money, mindset, yes. I have been reading right now, this has been a really good book, Transformation Through Intimacy.
Ooh.
Anybody who wants to really dive deeper into their relationship in a more spiritual way, not tools, more like energy, that would be a really great book. Transformation Through Intimacy by Robert Augustus Masters, PhD. Yeah.
Love it. That's a great recommendation.
Yeah, it is. It's been really juicy. So.
Amazing. Thank you so, so much for sharing your wisdom and guidance. I really know that this is going to be a favorite episode.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me.
Thank you so much for sitting with us today. And where can our audience find you and learn more from you?
Yeah, so I am on Instagram. My husband and I created a really beautiful couples program called Couples Reconnect. It's a self-paced program. You sign in and you can do it with your partner. It's a 12-week journey, which is so helpful. We go over a ton of different tools. It's a transformational process. And yeah, if you're a gal and you want to go on a journey on your own and learn a lot about yourself, unearth some things, Aligned Woman is the place for you. We're starting in October. And for all of your Flow State listeners, I will offer a really special discount for them.
Amazing. We will put details for that down in the show notes. So anyone who's listening and wants to check that out, definitely please do, as well as go and give Dr. Nevin a follow over on Instagram. Thank you so much for being here with us today. We really appreciate your time.
Yeah, thank you for having me.